Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
And that news is a brand new episode of A Medic's Mind, the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. This episode is not a blog read. It's just me talking. I have an episode for you that was motivated by a friend of mine. She gave me a call today because, for one, it was my birthday. Or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. But she gave me a call to say happy birthday. I'm getting old now, folks. I'm on the backside of 30.
Well, I am.
Yeah, backside of 30, getting old. Nothing I can do about it, but it's how it is. And here I am. But the conversation that I had with this friend of mine was about diction. Not addiction, but diction. Some of the words that I use. She asked me kind of how I came to possess some of the magniloquent sort of superfluous language that I sometimes tend to use. And in that, I had to come to a confession or at least admit a confession to her. And it was that I sometimes, just for the hell of it, read a thesaurus. Yeah, it's something I've done since I was a kid. And the reason that I did that when I was a kid is twofold. There's two different reasons. One, I wanted to learn how to swear at people without getting in trouble. Because people annoyed me to the point where it'd be nice to tell them to go fuck themselves without getting into trouble. But obviously, as a kid, you can't say go fuck yourself or you will get into trouble. And sometimes you can't just go out and call somebody a cunt because you will get in trouble. But I wanted to learn many different ways to call somebody a cunt. And so I grabbed a thesaurus and I looked and digested my way through some of the pages of that glorious thing and found different ways to swear at people. And that was also motivated by my mother. She didn't motivate me to learn these words so I could swear. My mother had the worst hearing in the world. Now, when she watched TV, she was on volume 100. It was so loud. And even then, she was still leaning in to hear what was going on. It was unbearable to try and watch TV with her. But if you were trying to swear under your breath or get away with some sort of mumbling of adolescent rebellion and you were to just worship underneath your breath, that woman all of a sudden had the hearing of a fucking stealth assassin that could hear a whale fart in the deep Pacific. It was insane just what she could do. So I had to find other words that I could use. And then that way she'd be like, what did you say? I'm like, nothing. I'm doing homework. And yeah, so that's how that came to be. It was very helpful in the ambulance too, because I could sound somewhat studious at times. And other times I could alleviate some of my own personal anguish and anger towards people by using some somewhat hidden lexicological stealthery. I know stealthery is not a word, but let's go with it, folks, to alleviate some of what I was feeling when it came to dealing with the more prickly aspects of people. And confession number two, the thought of reading the thesaurus also came about because when I was around 16 or 17, there was a little show that came out that depicted people around my age at the time, 16 or 17 years old, a gaggle of friends with varying backgrounds, and they used a very mature language to confabulate with one another. And it was a language far beyond the years of what they were portraying. And so it was nice to try and figure out what they were saying. But also I thought it could help me try to impress girls because my face certainly wasn't going to do it. So I had to try and think of other ways. And this little show is something I like to call... Dawson's Creek. Dawson and his sweater vests. Dawson and his sweater vests. Yes, I did wear sweater vests. And yes, I read thesauruses. I'm that guy.
6 months, one was three. In the war of 44. Every telephone.
Thanks, Vanderbeek.
Heartbeat stinging when she falls.
Anyway, so that happened. That was a real thing that went down. I wish I could say that that's not the case, but it is. So it's helped me now, I think, with writing. Sometimes I just, there's things I want to say, and I think sometimes using different words help me tell the story that I want to tell. Because I still, I don't consider myself to be a writer. I really don't. And I'm beyond appreciative. Don't get me wrong. I am very appreciative of the kind words that I receive from people when they talk to me about writing and when they talk to me about how my writing is received. I am beyond blown away and humbled by it all. And it makes me feel really good to hear some of those things, and especially to hear somebody say that my words have impacted them. I actually had somebody reach out to me and tell me that I kept them sober once from an episode they listened to. And that was mind-blowing. And here's the thing. If you're listening right now, I didn't keep you sober. I didn't. I really did not. What I did was at best gave you 25 to 30 minutes to convince yourself to be sober. At best, I contributed to some time. That's it. But those words are deeply, deeply, deeply humbling, and I really like them. And so that's where that came from. And yes, my birthday. Yes, it is my birthday. It's been a pretty good day overall. It started off a little bit rocky. I unfortunately received some pretty bad news this morning with respect to a friend of mine. He passed away this morning, a young man. It was hard news to digest, to say the very least. And so... Again, I had to make a choice as to how far down the mourning hole I was gonna fall, because when I get news about what happened to this individual, some of the walls of compartmentalization fall as well, and things start to bleed into one another, and that's a dangerous place to get into. So I had to figure out other ways to combat that, and luckily for me, I have really amazing people in my life that kept me busy with either text messages or phone calls, mostly phone calls. I actually got to play some video games with my brother during the day, which was really awesome. We were playing a game called The Division. I don't know if any of you that listen are gamers, but it's a game that we play. You become like a secret government agent and you try to take back New York. But we play with a guy from New York. His name's Pauly. He's a good friend of ours. That we've gotten to know over the past few years here. And eventually I'll make my way back down to New York and I will meet up with Pauly. That's gonna happen for sure. It's gonna be something that that needs to happen. He's a good guy. But yesterday I got to meet up with a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a while. His name's Jack. Had some dinner and some laughs. It was really good. And again, it was another one of those positive reaffirmations for me, because I was hanging out in a group setting. I'd never hung out with Jack without drinking before. Not that he was a causation of drinking, but I've just never hung out with him in a social setting and not drank. And we were at a bar, and I had a great time. I was drinking San Pellegrino, by the way. I don't know why I didn't think of drinking this stuff sooner. It's amazing, firstly. I haven't had a bad flavor yet. But also, we were there for about 3.5 hours, and my bill was $8. $8! It used to be $8 a drink, and that was when I was drinking shit beer, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Sobriety's not so bad, folks. I don't mind it. But it does make some things a little tougher to digest sometimes, like the news that I had this morning. It is really sad news, and it would be easy to fall into the pit of being stuck in it. And I don't want to do that for a few different reasons. One, it's not going to do anything objective to the situation. It doesn't change anything. It's not going to bring this person back. I can respectfully mourn this person and think of their life and on their life without damaging myself. And that's all I'm going to be trying to do. And so I implemented some of the same stuff that I've talked about on previous podcasts. I sat down, I watched some episodes of That 70s Show, you know, to bring back some nostalgia. I thought of my best friend Drew, who always calls me on my birthday. And in lieu of no longer having my mom around to phone me or send me a card, You know, I'm fortunate that I still have really good friends in my life, but the world feels a little bit lonely when that one person that you really want to have reach out to you just can't, or, you know, because they're not here. So the world felt a little bit big today. I went for a walk earlier to go and get some milk, and my treat to myself for my birthday was milk and Oreo cookies. I'm not really a sweets person. I generally don't eat sweets, but milk and Oreos, it's tough to go wrong. So that was my treat to myself. That's what I did for my birthday, was I went and bought some milk and Oreo cookies. And then I came back and had the conversation with Heather that spawned the confession at the beginning of this podcast, where I tell you that I used to watch Dawson's Creek religiously and read thesauruses that I still read. I still read them in the morning and sometimes throughout the day, because it's still nice to think of different ways to call somebody a fuckhead and not worry about getting into trouble with it. And, you know, so there's that, you know, because sometimes just simply saying
"fuck you, asshole"
isn't enough. Sometimes you really need to class it up a bit. You know, there's only so many times that you can walk up to somebody and just say
"you son of a bitch,"
and you know, eventually it loses its efficacy. So you know, it's nice to have that. Anyway, that's the confession. That's what I did. You know, with relation to kind of staying out of the deep end of feeling sad and mad and lost. You know, this isn't my first birthday without my mom, but it is my first birthday sober, and without my mom. So, I'm starting to get the handle on what those things feel like, what those firsts, feel like. Like I said, it's not the first birthday without her, but it is, you know, the first with being sober and thusly feeling a lot more. So I'm starting to get a handle on what the grief spikes feel like, how long they last for, and how to navigate around them. Before, I used to just be pretty good at just sitting in them and falling deeper down the hole. And now without having the impulsivity to run to the bar and drown myself, because I used to drink in hopes that it would make it go away, and it would to a degree, because I would pass out eventually. But the thing is, getting there, getting to that point of passing out, that space in between starting drinking to passing out, that space in between, I wasn't finding any relief. So I was just having to pour more medication on it. I'm doing medication in air quotes. And now that I'm not doing that, now I'm sitting here with some Oreos and milk. Doesn't quite have the same effect with relation to the disassociation that getting absolutely plastered can have. But you know, I'm starting to be able to accept things as they come, and they're not pleasant. I'm not going to say they're pleasant or any easier. I mean, missing my mom is missing my mom, and wishing that she was here is wishing that she was here. But instead of living in those moments, I just accept that they've came or come, and I accept how I'm feeling in the moment. And then I either get up and go do something, whether it's just throwing a few dishes in the dishwasher, or even just get outside to feel that complete juxtaposition from inside to outside. You know, it was actually a pretty nice day today. My kind of weather. It was mild and it was raining. So it's like nature gifted me my birthday weather, so it was nice to get out and go for a walk. Felt pretty good, you know. And then playing games with my brother, that was fun too. And I got to talk to my little niece, who apparently went and got her face painted today. That was exciting for her, and she told me all about it in many different ways that kids do. You know, the 5 minute it takes them to tell you a story, and it's just the cutest thing to listen to. You know, I don't have kids. I don't ever want kids, but I'm pretty happy to have kids in my life, if that makes any sense to you guys. So that's kind of how it's, you know. And honestly, when I think of birthdays, it's pretty good. It's been a pretty good day. It started off horrible with getting that news, but I have been able to navigate through that and still end up having a decent day, which is something that I'm trying to transpose atop of the other things that happen, like the nightmares or the flashbacks or the, you know, the invasion symptoms with relation to sight, sound, smell, makes me feel hopeful. It makes me feel hopeful that I'm going to be able to master those things too, and that eventually, with the continued work that I put in with therapy and with the digesting of trauma symptoms, that eventually they might even subside to the point where they're not as invasive as they are right now. So, and that gives me hope for many more birthdays that are pretty goddamn good. That's what I'm hopeful for. So that was it. That's where I'm at right now. I got the phone my buddy. Well, actually, my buddy Drew phoned me, and it turns out that he looks like he's going to come to Toronto in June. Now, Drew is my best friend from high school. This guy has been with me through thick and thin, and I love this guy to death. He is quite literally a brother to me, and I can't explain enough about how much I love this guy. And I spoke about him in the New York podcast where I told the story about going to New York. Drew is the guy that I was talking about. If you ever get a chance to travel, go with Drew because you're going to meet a bunch of famous people. That's the guy. But we're talking tonight, and it was nice. I had that flashback into the nice flashback, surprisingly, and it wasn't a real flashback, but I think you know what I mean. The nostalgia of going back and thinking about high school days, and it was funny because Drew is a pretty charismatic guy, pretty charismatic character and cartoonish in a lot of ways. And so he's about 6 months younger than I am. And, so every year when my birthday comes, he phones me and, makes fun of me for being an old man. It's constant. He doesn't stop.
Well,
every single thing that comes out of his mouth is followed by,
well,
yeah. And then he'll mimic me laughing. Old man laugh. So, you know, there's that. Drew's hilarious. And, so we were sitting there talking about high school stuff, but as he was making fun of me, he was quite loud over the phone. And his daughter is now 12 years old, and his daughter busts through his room, and I can hear her through the phone. She's like, "Dad, shut up! You're so annoying." It killed me. It was hilarious because Drew has heard that his entire life in many different voices, whether it was us, our friends. So when we were little shits growing up, and we used to throw, you know, the lava rocks, you know, those little light red rocks they're not dangerous. You're not going to break anything, but you know, you could throw them. Well, we did throw them. We threw them at houses as we walked by them to bang off the window. And then we'd run because we're like, "Oh my God, this is hilarious." I don't know. We grew up in a small town. Don't fucking judge me. We would go by and we'd throw rocks at things, and whenever we do that, all of a sudden Drew would yell at me, he's like, "Matthew Hennigan at 212 and he'd start giving out my address. I'm like, "You shut the fuck up." And then like I was laughing too hard to run sometimes because he would just have me in stitches, and so I was the slowest runner, and I was always afraid that I was going to get caught. There was actually one time where Drew and I really had to run for our lives though, because there was this guy that lived up the road from us who subsequently became a family friend. But at the time we called him Mr. Stinky, and it's because he didn't really take a lot of care of himself. And then thusly, he was the neighborhood ghoul. He sort of talked about him, thought he had bodies in the basement kind of thing. And anyway, we didn't know he got a dog, and he did get a dog. And so when we threw the lava rocks at his porch, he opened the door and we could hear him laughing as he let the fucking dog run after us. Now, in memory, this dog is now 6 foot tall. It's a lab, but built like a fucking pit bull in memory. That's not the case at all. Her name was Sadie, and she was actually a beautiful dog, but she ran after us, and me and Drew ran like bullets. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could give Usain Bolt a run for his money in that moment. And we did get away. We ran to the school, which is just up the road. And we got inside, and there was this poor little cleaner mopping the floor. And we just barrel in. She goes, "Hey." And I was like, "Dog chasing us." And the dog was jumping up at the window, and I was like, we're gonna go to the back. And she had no idea what to say, so we just went out. And Drew and I got tons of shit together. But we started, it was great. It was talking. So anyway, Drew was telling me he's coming to Toronto in June. And it's so great because if he comes here, he's going to spend the night at my, I told him, I was like, hey man, I live in a studio apartment, so I don't have like a spare room, but I got a futon. You're welcome. And he goes, dude, I could sleep on the floor. And I was like, that's fucking true. Not that I'm going to make you, but it's fucking true. Drew's the kind of guy, like he would excel in the military because this guy could fucking sleep anywhere and instantly, by the way. So I remember it was when video games were still, shared on the same television. So we got this fishing game for the Nintendo 64. And the whole goal of the game was you just go fishing, right? Like that's the whole purpose of the game. Go fishing, cash your fish in. But anyway, it was a two-player game, split screen, whatever player was on top, whatever player was on bottom, and then you just go fishing. And so Drew and I were playing this, and all of a sudden I see Drew's avatar on the game just crash into a rock and go dung, 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 dung against the rock. And I start laughing because I'm like, Drew's being an idiot. So I'm laughing, and I turn around and I look, and Drew is literally collapsed into his neck. His head, he's rested against, his back's against my bed. He's on the floor, and he's just collapsed into his neck, and he's, he is out. And he's got the thumb on the controller, and Steve's just still pushing up, and he's just running into this rock. And I was like, wow, that happened so fast. Like, that was so quick. And it was so fast. I've never seen a guy fucking sleep that quickly before. At least not until I joined the Army. When you join the Army, you learn how to sleep like a fucking professional narcoleptic. And it's fucking incredible. But I got really excited about that, thinking about Drew coming up to Toronto in June, which isn't too terribly far away. That'll be great to see him. Drew is, he's honestly the probably one of the best human beings that's on this planet right now. And when he gets here, I hope to introduce as many of you to him as possible because he is just that stellar of a human being. The conversation with Drew, the funny conversation with Heather, where I had to confess, reading a fucking thesaurus like a fucking psychopath, and playing video games with my brother today. Being able to circumnavigate some of the darker spots of the day. It's been pretty good. A pretty good birthday. I can't really complain about it, but it's also the first birthday I've woken up sober in quite some time. It's the first time I'm going to bed sober on my birthday and doomed to wake up. Well, doomed. Destined. Let's say destined. Destined to wake up sober in years. Well over a decade, in fact. So that feels pretty good as well. It's been a pretty successful time. And I feel a weight of relief in confessing to you guys that I used to watch Dawson's Creek, knowing that you can't judge me from here. Yeah, I did. And so that's, there's that. And that's, You can't judge me, and if you do,
fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. I know it's not quite it's not quite as eloquent as I would like it to be with relation to my retorts. But if you are judging me,
stop it.
Yeah, just let's go with that. I mean, what did you want from me? It was sweater vests. I thought I thought if I had this great vocabulary, and so those of you who don't know what I look like. If there's any of you that listen to this and have no idea what I look like, first off, you're lucky. Secondly, I have dark features. I have dark hair, big dark eyebrows, and very plain after that. There's really no other discernible features that would make me, stand out really. But I dyed my hair blonde when I was in high school. I thought that was a thing to do. Like, there's actually a high school photo of me with blonde fucking hair, and I did that for two reasons. Dude, one, I thought I was gonna be fucking Zach Morris. Two, Dawson had sandy blonde hair, and I thought, hey, if I get the sweater vest, which I did, I had a bunch of them. I had enough sweater vests to wear one a day for the school week. So I could wear five different sweater vests to school. Anyway. I don't know. Anyway, so I had those, and I thought if I dyed my hair, that I would be, you know, that I'd be the man.
Don't be ridiculous.
But I was ridiculous. I really was. It did not work out the way I thought it was going to. I was not the Lothario in school. All roads led to, you know, staying and maintaining my virginity in a great way, unfortunately. So that's a little bit about me on my 36th birthday, confessing to you and telling you a little bit more about who I am and who's behind this microphone when you're listening to A Medic's Mind. I also want to touch base for a moment, just because we do have an event coming up February 14th in Barrie, Ontario at the Five Points Theater. I am partaking in the inaugural event for Brainstorm Revolution called Unconventional Love Stories. Unconventional Love Stories at Barrie Five Points Theater, February 14th. Tickets are still available. Not many, but there are some available. So go, I think they're $18 a piece. So go to the city of Barrie and look up the theater and you can grab tickets that way. But this is, we're going to be reading some unconventional love stories. I'm reading a story about my mom, that I've written, a while back. And, it's going to be a great event. There's going to be some people, other authors there. We're going to be signing books. We're going to be there's going to be t-shirts for sale, hats for sale, books, you know, not just Brainstorm Revolution, but, you know, books. I believe, Natalie Harris's book is going to be there. Natalie Harris herself is going to be there. So if you're interested in something like that, it would be a great date thing as well. It's not just anti Valentine's Day, not by any means. So if you're looking for something to do, that's kind of unique, why not look into this? Because it's going to be a cool event, and B, you get to hear me stumble and stammer my way through whatever I've written. On stage. I've never spoken in front of a group of people on stage before, so this is going to be a whole new thing for me. But I bought a new tie, a new shirt, and a new jacket, so fucking come check it out. And most importantly, thank you. Thank you for supporting me over these past couple of months. At the beginning of the week, I reached my 5,000 goal, 5,000 listenership goal. And as of yesterday, I was at 5,200. So it's going up rapidly, and I can't thank you guys enough for that. So thank you so very, very, very much. And thank you for listening to me this evening on my birthday. It's nice to be able to chat with you guys and converse a little bit and confess a little bit. With relation to just kind of what kind of crazy person I am. Now you know that I'm a Dawson's Creek fan. Yeah, Dawson's Creek. What are you going to do? Anyway, guys, that's it for me. I'm going to bid you guys a good evening. And just let me stop this here. I think you guys have heard enough. Heard enough Dawson's Creek. It's nice nostalgia for me, but it might be really irritating and ear-curdling for you guys. So anyway, that's more about me. Now you know more about the man behind the mic. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Be well, be safe, and above all else, keep talking to each other.